From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Dan Savage, sex columnist, author and advocate, creator of the It Gets Better Project, an archive of hopeful videos aimed at troubled gay youth. His books include 2005's The Commitment, Love, Sex, Marriage, and My Family, which looked at whether gay marriage was a good idea or not. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
When you got married 7 years ago, you were talking about it. And you described yourself and your partner, Terry, as ambivalent. You're not as ambivalent anymore?
No, we're not. You know, I'm 48 years old, and I'm sort of in between two generations of queers. The generations that came immediately before me, generation hit hardest by AIDS, which really emphasized the importance of being able to declare who your next of kin was to gay and lesbian Americans. To come out meant to really walk away from marriage and family. What you were telling your parents when you came out as gay was that you would never marry, that you would never have children. And for a lot of gays and lesbians who are a few years, 10 years, 20 years older than I am, marriage was the trap that the heterosexual and heterosexist society set for you. You would be hustled along by the closet and family's expectations and the pressures of religion into an early and ill-advised marriage in your 20s or teens and be locked into heterosexuality. And then you'd have kids and then there was no escape. So for older gays and lesbians, many of them, not all of them, marriage was this trap that they narrowly avoided, this bear pit they almost fell into.
Sure.
And so that's where my ambivalence came from a bit when I was wrestling with it, 15, 20 years ago, and I started to think about it and write about it as it became more possible, was I was inclined toward that attitude. Like marriage as a possibility for me was I had slit that throat and buried that body by the side of the road when I was 16 years old and started coming out to my family. Mm-hmm. And then here I am all these many years later, and here comes this, walking dead marriage zombie saying, I'm back.
Yeah.
This is possible for you. Mm-hmm. And younger gays and lesbians are going to grow up now in a world where hopefully soon all across the country, marriage is a choice that they can make. It's possible for them too. And a lot of us sort of reacted negatively to marriage because we had been rejected by marriage and family, so we preemptively rejected it and had to reassess our feelings about it as marriage became possible for same-sex couples.
Now, it's impossible to say what any given marriage, what impact it'll have on any given relationship. Relationships are all different. Is it possible to draw any messages from what we know the impact has been on people in other places who are already married?
Well, the impact on heterosexuals who are already married in other places has been zil and non-existent.
Right.
All the horror stories about gay people getting married is going to lead to the end of the family and the destruction of the human race. None of that ever seems to come true.
No, I mean on the relationship themselves.
Oh, on
now
gay
that same-sex couples are married. Like now you're married. Does
see,
that
I'm,
change?
I'm in my defensive crouch all the time. Yeah, it is going to change people. I think people, the culture at once would tell gay people that we weren't serious. Our love it didn't exist because our relationships were unstable, but the culture then denied us what is provided to others to stabilize our relationships, marriage, that commitment, and how sobering that is. A lot of straight people, when they date, would look at each other and think, is this someone I could be married to? Mm-hmm. I want to take that step. And they would assess the relationship using that criteria. And gay people never had to, and many didn't. And may have, not dated then seriously because there was no long-term potential or expectation.
Yeah.
That's going to change for gay and lesbian people. We're going to be normalized. We asked for equal treatment and we're going to get it.
Yeah.
We're going to get it from our families, including families going, why aren't you married to their gay and lesbian relatives and expecting them to uphold those sorts of traditions, even if they're having an untraditional genitalia arrangement in their marriage.
Now, as you alluded to, some people are still uncomfortable with the idea of same-sex marriage.
Unfortunate because now they all have to get gay married. That's the law. gay people are free to get married, but homophobes are compelled to get gay married. That's how they act, as if the law is going to force them to come to our weddings and throw rice and then stand beside, the bed in the honeymoon suite with a tub of lube in their hands. That is not going to happen. You don't approve. You don't have to come to the wedding, the honeymoon, or at all.
Part of many marriage vows is the line, something like, forsake all others. You've got a different view on fidelity and marriage.
I'm faithful to Terry, and Terry is faithful to me. We are not sexually exclusive necessarily. We only hear that monogamy is a defining characteristic of marriage when gay people want to marry. And typically about gay men, this comes up. Gay male relationships are the least likely to be strictly sexually monogamous. Gay men are likelier to have an agreement about outside sexual contact. The next more, you know, the next most likely to be monogamous is an opposite sex couple, heterosexuals. The most likely to be monogamous, lesbians. If monogamy is a defining characteristic of marriage and people who are bad at it shouldn't be allowed to marry, then men, gay or straight, should not be allowed to marry. Only lesbians should be allowed to marry if monogamy is the standard. You know, we hear that monogamy, children, religion are the defining characteristics of marriage only when same-sex couples want to get married. Mm-hmm. Straight people can marry and not be monogamous. The Clintons are still married. Straight people can marry and not have children. Pat Buchanan and his wife never had children. Straight people can have a religious ceremony or a civil ceremony. Straight people, marriage is what the two people in any particular marriage say that it is. They define their own commitment. They define forsake all others for themselves. They define fidelity and faithfulness for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so to say to gay people, oh, we're going to hold you guys and lesbians, we're going to hold you to a standard that we don't hold ourselves to as heterosexuals is so hypocritical, it's laughable.
Is monogamy unnatural for men of heterosexual or homosexual persuasion, or are we all dogs?
Men are pigs, but monogamy is unnatural. Humans aren't good at it. You know, we are monkeys in shoes, as Tim Minchin said. There are no strictly monogamous primate species. We are a pair bonding species, it seems. But there's a difference between social monogamy and sexual monogamy. 40% of, you know, some of the stats that rattle around out there, and it's hard to get accurate stats on infidelity because, you know, a researcher comes to your door and says, have you cheated on your wife? And your wife might be within earshot. But 40% of women and 60% of men in long-term relationships, and those 40 and 60% are married to each other. So in most long-term committed relationships, there has been an incident of cheating or adultery. And yeah, we are not good at it. How many David Petraeus scandals do we need, and John Edwards and Clinton and David Vitter and everybody else, before we go, yeah, this is an ideal, and if you make a monogamous commitment, you should take that seriously and attempt to uphold it. If you can't keep a monogamous commitment, don't make one.
Yeah.
But are we as humans good at monogamy? No. We're about as good at it as we are as breathing underwater.
How do we balance sort of these two parts of ourselves, the advantages and disadvantages of monogamy versus the risks and opportunities of other sexual partners and open relationships?
Well, I think it's really important, particularly people who advocate, you know, different relationship models, to acknowledge the advantages of monogamy around paternity, obviously. If it's an opposite sex relationship, disease, emotional security, there are advantages to non-monogamy around variety, primarily, and, you know, a sense of sexual adventure and possibility, and also then an infidelity or an adultery not being a relationship terminating event.
Yeah.
That's something you can get past, perhaps. But monogamy and marriage are two separate debates. There are people in long-term relationships who are not married and have no intention to marry. My brother, Billy, who's coming to town this weekend, and his long-term partner, opposite-sex partner, a woman, are not married and not monogamous, and they're straight. Mm-hmm. So this isn't about gay, straight, married, non-married. This is about everybody, every couple getting to decide for themselves what works for them.
My guest, Dan Savage, I recently talked to Mark Oppenheimer, who's written a short biography of you, and in it, some interesting quotes that people might not expect to hear about Dan Savage. Andrew Sullivan calling you a very conservative person. Mark Oppenheimer saying you're a cultural Catholic.
I am. And that sometimes blows people's minds. When I advocate for a little bit more realism about infidelity, adultery, monogamy, not because I'm anti-marriage, but because I think overemphasizing the importance of sexual exclusivity and monogamy destabilizes marriages. We tell people that if you're in love, monogamy comes easily. And you won't want to sleep with anybody else. It's easy to make that monogamous commitment. A monogamous commitment is hard. And so if you're with somebody for many years and they only cheat on you once or twice, they were good at being monogamous. They were bad at being monogamous. And the expectation should be the Clintons. Don't be Mark and Jenny Sanford. Like, find a way to work through this, even if it's a betrayal and it's very traumatic. The culture should celebrate, you know, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart from the Twilight movies. I'm sure I'm getting their names wrong. You know, there's a big public infidelity there, and they've worked it out and they've moved past it because their relationship is more important than sexual exclusivity. Why aren't we saying that? If you have kids and, you know, your partner cheats on you, the assumption should be you're going to work through this and stay together because this happens, and there's something more important to your marriage than just sex. And people tell me I overemphasize the importance of sex. People run around saying if somebody has sex with somebody else, that marriage is over and it never meant anything and he or she, whoever cheated, never loved you. How is that not putting too much importance on sex in mm-hmm. marriage?
Well, the advice that you might have for either a married couple or an unmarried couple in a committed relationship where someone strays, it feels like an emotional betrayal.
It is an emotional betrayal.
It's really hard to get over.
It is hard to get over.
So what's your advice to someone about getting over it?
To work through it. You know, people say to me, they write me letters, I would take a bullet for my husband.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the letter is, but I can't forgive him. It is easier to be shot than to forgive. I think you can work your way back. I really do.
Dan Savage, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
They're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.